Brethren, today we're going to cover a very important topic for each and every one of us as we rapidly approach the spring holy day season. It's only natural that we begin reflecting and looking at our lives, looking at the things that we've done. Have we grown? Have we regressed? Where are we at? But before I get into that topic, I want to look at some things that'll make sense here in a few minutes, some things that'll tie into the message. And what I want to do is cover some world events. And I'm going to start off in the year 2000. And in the year 2000, Al-Qaeda suicide bombs the U.S. Cole. And that was a warship. And it changed the way our military does things. You used to be able to tour some of the military ships. You can't do that anymore. Changed the way they do things. We all remember, if you weren't there personally, you've read about it in the school books, 2001, September 11th, 2001, as we know as 9/11. Terrorists destroy the World Trade Center in New York City and damage the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and the war on terror begins. It's changed the way we all do things. You know, prior to the year 2001, when I traveled, they actually gave me silverware on the flight. I didn't have to take my shoes off. In fact, I don't recall going through the security lines. The TSA at that point in time didn't exist prior to 2001. Well, let's keep going. 2003, the space shuttle Columbia is destroyed on reentry. And kind of continuing, 2004, tsunami occurs in the Indian Ocean, leading to the deaths of nearly, and I want you to hear this number, 230,000 people. 2005, Hurricane Katrina kills nearly 2,000 people in the Gulf of Mexico and displaced hundreds of thousands in New Orleans. 2006, the execution of Saddam Hussein. 2007 was somewhat the beginning of the big economic crash. Things started going south quick. The entire world economy was in bad shape. 2008, Barack Obama is elected President of the United States, and Cyclone Nargis kills, and listen to this number again, 133,000 in Myanmar. The Gaza War begins. 2009, well, we start off, the Gaza War ends. And the Gaza blockade continues. In 2010, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake in Haiti kills, and remember these numbers, 230,000 people. In Haiti, 230,000 people are killed by a magnitude 7.0 earthquake. The website WikiLeaks releases thousands of classified documents. In 2011, a 9.0 earthquake and meltdown of the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan occurs. Some pretty, I'll call them famous deaths. Death of Osama bin Laden, Muammar Gaddafi, and Kim Jong-il. The war in Iraq ends. Just coincidentally, the world population was estimated to be 7 billion, and that was in 2011. 2012, Hurricane Sandy kills 209 people in North America, while Typhoon Bapa kills over 1,600 in the Philippines. I think most of us recall this. In 2013, a terrorist attack occurs in Boston and Nairobi. Typhoon Haiyan kills nearly 6,150 people in the Philippines and Vietnam. Now, just last year, and this isn't new, but the worst Ebola virus epidemic ever recorded in history begins in West Africa. To date, infecting more than 20,000 people and killing more than 7,000. And move into modern times. Today we've got ISIS. We've got a lot of terrorist organizations that we've never heard of before. We've got superbugs that are popping up all over the place. How important is it to stay current with world events, with what's going on around us? How important is it? Should it be important to us? Is it something that we focus on? Are we interested in what's going around? Sometimes it can, frankly, scare us. Well, some things that are common with a lot of these tragedies and these things that have happened in the world, and take 9/11 as an example. Well, today we've got the TSA. Today you have to take your shoes off when you go through airport security. Security is extremely important today. Why wasn't it before 9/11? They knew terrorists existed. They knew that we were vulnerable. Well, what's important now wasn't quite as important prior to that event happening. When you look at the hurricane, and we're going to look back at Hurricane Katrina, everyone knew prior to Hurricane Katrina happening that the dikes and the levees around New Orleans, they were all in disrepair. They needed to be shored up. They needed to be looked at. Wasn't important. Guess what was important after Hurricane Katrina? We've got to get these levees fixed. That's kind of like buying insurance for fire insurance for your home after it's burnt down, isn't it? I mean, it's the way we work. As human beings, we learn by catastrophe, and it's really sad when that happens. So how important is it to be current on world events? Let's turn to our first scripture, and that'll be in Luke 21. Luke 21. In Luke 21, and we're just going to read a couple of verses, beginning in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down by carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Life's events and life's catastrophes happen so rapidly. When they just smack you upside the head. When something happens to, and we know of it as a life-changing event, that's something we generally didn't expect. And it usually comes upon us in a moment, without a moment's notice. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You know, there are many things that happen in the world and our personal lives that change our priorities, change those things that are important to us. Everybody in this room, I think, has a little bit different set of priorities, personal priorities. If you're young, going to school, well, your priority is making it through school, getting your degree, whatever it may be, and moving on with life. You know, that's a natural priority. If you're a little older, we've all heard of the bucket list. You know, that thing, those things that are important, those things I wanted to do, that bucket list that some have. Let's look at another thing, and just how life's events can change things that are important to us. I think everybody here, if you don't own a computer, you know somebody who does. You know somebody who does. And it's really funny. We become so complacent. Your computer's running great. Everything's running just the way it should. And usually this happens very rapidly. Go to turn on the computer, and those that have a PC, you get this big blue screen. Oops. If you run a Macintosh, you get this, they got a question mark, a little square in the middle of the screen that just flashes. Uh-oh, all my stuff is on this computer. And all of a sudden, your priorities change. What becomes important changes. I got to get my stuff off this computer. Boy, I hope I can get this running again. And with a lot of struggle, with a lot of effort, this is your primary focus. This is really what you're, this is important. This is a tragic event that's just taken place. Well, what usually happens is right after they get a new computer, because they couldn't do anything with that, they also get some backup software that is now very important to them. Well, again, that's kind of like buying insurance after the catastrophe's already taken place. So we learn from our mistakes. Have you ever lost your smartphone or, iPhones, Androids, whatever? That we've got a lot of our lives on these things. All of a sudden, our priorities change. A few weeks ago, in fact, it may have been just last week, the lottery jackpot, I don't know what the number was, but you hear of lottery fever. Lottery fever. Everybody starts focusing. It's important. It's important. Boy, I'm going to go out and buy $20 worth of lottery tickets, and then I go out and buy $20 more. Their priorities change over something like that. Have we ever struggled with our finances? Something happens where the engine blows up in our car, and all of a sudden, do you have the money to? Our priorities change when these events take place. When it's health events, health issues. Yeah, I'm speaking firsthand here. It truly changes our priorities. When you're going through a very serious, maybe you're close to death. Wow. Your sense of urgency, your priorities are changed. They're turned around. What was important yesterday is no longer important, and you're focusing on something else. The things that you should have been doing prior suddenly become important. Your sense of urgency, if you will, the first love. You've got to do the things that you know you should be doing, but now it's important to do because, I know how important it is. And speaking again firsthand, when you become removed and all of a sudden, you're getting healthy, things are looking good again, unfortunately and sadly, sometimes we become complacent again and all of a sudden we fall back into that same trap. Many of us know how stressful it is to be in health situations. I know how it feels, how stressful it can be to be in very bad financial situations. You lost a job, whatever the case may be. Do we consider when those things happen, do we consider what the Bible says? Let's turn over to Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, I'm only going to read one scripture. And that's Matthew 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? The purpose of today's message is real simple. We need to look at those things that are important to us. We need to look at our priorities individually and collectively. Collectively, we should all have very common values and things of importance. Things that are important. The Sabbath day, very important. The holy days. The things that we have in common, we really need to focus on. But we also need to look at those other things that do affect our lives. Those personal priorities, those personal goals, things to that nature. Hopefully this message will allow us to, in some cases, hopefully reset. Take a closer look at our priorities. And I won't have you turn there, but in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Consistency. Consistency. Did his values change? Did his priorities change? Did the things that were important to Jesus Christ, our Savior, did they change? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he's our template. He's our role model. He's our example. Shouldn't our priorities be set up very similar to his, where they don't change, they're consistent? Now, the death of a loved one can really change the way we think. It can change our priorities. It can change the things that are important in our lives. And rightly so. Those things are, you know, they're tragic. They're life-changing events. In Matthew 13 and verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells. His priorities change. He goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. When he sees the value of what's truly important, his priorities change. The things that are important to that man changes. Very similar in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Brethren, we've all got something. We've got that great pearl. We've got that treasure. Is that our priority? Is this where we're looking at? Now, what is the purpose and what is the meaning? Why do we go through trials? You know, I started thinking about it because I've gone through some health issues. I know many in this room have gone through some very serious health issues. And when you've gone through that, it's interesting what takes place. Your priorities change. You begin focusing on things that you should have been focusing on prior. And you've got a sense of urgency, a sense of zeal. You've regained that first love, if you will. And in James 1, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, when you go through life's catastrophes. And I was always kind of confused. There is joy we can find, because what it does is it resets our priorities. It makes us focus on things that are truly important. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience helps us become consistent. You know, and I'm not going to have anyone turn there, but Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12, that's the parable of the 10 virgins. We can think about this. Five had the right priority. They knew what was important. They didn't waver from it. And five didn't. Suddenly, when the wedding drew near, they found themselves, well, what wasn't important before, suddenly it is, and they wanted to borrow some oil from their counterparts. Hey, sorry. And when they got back, what was the answer? What was the response? Too little, too late. Too little, too late, basically, is what happened to them. If they had that sense of urgency, their priorities were well established, they didn't waver from them, who knows? Who knows? Do we know what's important, each one of us? Do we know what's important? You know, I think sometimes, unfortunately and sadly, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves in thinking we really, hey, I'm doing everything. I show up to church. You know, I serve whenever I'm asked to serve. I pay my tithes. I do all the right things. I'm doing all the right things. Sometimes we're deceiving ourselves. Now, I'll read this from my notes, but parable that really fits into this is the rich man. You can find this in several different places in the Bible. And in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Good question. We all want to know the answer to that. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into the kingdom, enter into life, keep the commandments. So the young man said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I've done. I'm doing all the right things then. Doing all the right things. I've got my priorities in order. I'm keeping the laws, doing all these right things. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But, where were the priority shift here? things are going good. Life is good. I got stuff. You know, here's when life is going good, and this is really one of the key points of this message. When life is going good, sometimes our priorities need to be looked at a lot closer than when they're not going good. It's so easy to be complacent. Hey, it's not going so bad. Health is good. Finances are good. You know, and boss isn't bugging me. Everything's not bad. You know, I'll just serve when I'm asked and good to go. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Life was good. As we approach Passover, you know, Passover is coming up. How important is serving to each of us? How important is it? Is it something that comes from here, comes from the heart? Or is it that obligation that comes from the head? You know, I'm going to serve when I'm asked. Are we looking for opportunities? Are we serving with that agape love? You know, having been in a bad situation in the past, it goes two ways. It goes two ways because to serve, there's the other side of the coin where there's those that are being served. And I think most of us guys out here, at least maybe not just the guys, there's pride that stands in the way. I don't like it when people help me. I'll take you. Would they just leave me alone? And I'll be all right. And we don't accept that loving, serving, humble attitude and that service that others are willing to give. So do we accept service when we're in need, when we're in situations? Do we do it with humility? Is it a priority to us? Is it important to us? Is it something that we focus on? Jesus Christ kind of gives us an indication of how important it is. And we'll probably read this during the Passover service. And in John 13, he rose up from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and this is where we need to start listening. When he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "You do not know what I do now, but you shall hereafter." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." He's not accepting that service. There's two sides of it. In order to serve, you've got to have someone to serve. If we reject it, if we're too proud, I'll just take care of myself. That's why we're here, brethren, is to help each other. It needs to be a priority on both sides. We need to serve from the heart. Serve with love. Serve with the agape love. Same time, we need to accept the service and the agape love with humility and allow others to help us. So when we get into things that are important, levels of importance, those priorities that I was talking about, does God want us to give everything away? I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to read from a Good News commentary, and I actually found this one sometime back. It's from August 12, 2010, Good News. Jesus Christ elaborated in his message to the seven churches of Revelation. In speaking to Laodicea, the notorious lukewarm church, he criticizes them for claiming, "I am rich." Yeah, things are going good. "Have become wealthy and have need of nothing," without realizing they were in fact wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You can read about that in Revelation 3:17. Although the congregation at Laodicea possessed great wealth, physical wealth, they were in a spiritual state of disrepair. They took comfort and pride in the things they owned, not seeing that they were losing the only thing that really mattered, the thing that was important, that thing that you should never lose focus over, and that's God's calling. But Christ provided more than just a rebuke for his people. He also gave them the solution, the pathway to truth, spiritual wealth. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And that's Revelation 3:18. The gold, the garments, and the eye salve all represent a way of life in alignment with God's word. When we daily apply God's instruction to the things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we think, we open the door to a life filled with truth and riches. Peace of mind, meaningful, and I want you to hear that, meaningful relationships. You know, we can serve. Is it a burden to serve? Is it an obligation to serve? Or are we serving because we want to serve, because we love to serve, because we're there for one another? When we fellowship, are we doing it because we have to? When we make the phone calls to talk to those that may be shut in, are we doing it because it's an obligation, or are we doing it from our heart? Something we all need to ask ourselves. Now, when we are going through bad times, bad situations, we need to look at the scriptures, and we can look at Paul's example in Philippians 4, verses 11. I speak not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, and this is a key word, I have learned whatever state I am in to be content. I've learned. Did it come natural? No. Is it something we just do? No. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have, again, learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How does he do this? How does he do this? Does he do it all by himself? Absolutely not. He learned how to do it through consistency. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. We can bear all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Matthew 6, do not lay up yourselves, Matthew 6, verse 19, we'll start in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Find the value there, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And in verse 21, for where your treasure is, where those things that are important lie, this is where your heart is. Where's your heart? What's important to you? What's important to me? Well, we've seen just through some cataclysmic world events, we change our priorities usually when it's too late, after the catastrophe has taken place. This is when we react. The 10 virgins, 5 of them stayed consistent. They knew what was important. They stayed focused. 5 of them, they reacted far too late. What was the reaction? They didn't keep the priorities in line. As we begin to wrap up here, brethren, let's take a look at the most important thing. The Bible tells us what's most important. That's the title of today's message. What's most important? And the Bible tells us, Jesus Christ himself tells us what's most important. Let's all turn over to Matthew 22 and see what Jesus has to say. Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 34, But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment? What is most important? Where should our priorities be? Which is the great commandment, or the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus responded. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Brethren, if we don't have a personal relationship with God, if we're neglecting our study, which allows God to really speak to us through His Word, if we're not getting on our knees and communicating with our Creator, asking, taking advantage of the repentance that is given to us, then we are not fulfilling, we are not living up to that most important thing, which is maintaining a continual relationship with God the Father. This is the first and great commandment, was Jesus Christ's response there. And in verse 39, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do we like each other? Do we love each other? Are we there for each other? Do we feel obligated to serve each other? Do we feel obligated to be served by someone? Yeah, I mean, we really need to think about our relationship as God's bride, our relationship with each other. This is the second most important thing. And in verse 40, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. These are the most important things we need to focus on. If we do these things, and if we stay focused on these priorities, everything else falls into line. We go through trials to test us because it does change our priorities. It helps us to focus not necessarily on ourselves, but on others. It resets our level of importance on what's truly needing to be focused on at that time. We can't let go of it. When we become removed from the things that happen in our life, we need to hold on to that first love, that zeal that we all should have. So, brethren, as we go through this Sabbath day and as we approach Passover, let's really focus on what's most important.